Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, today a preview of next weekend's Home Builders Association show out at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. Dana LaPre, Executive Director. Is that the right title these days?
Yeah.
So get real close to the mic over there.
Okay. Well, hello. I guess I'm the Executive Director for the Home Builders Association.
And actually having an event happen again is pretty cool.
It is really cool. I'm glad to have the annual Home and Garden Show back this year. It's going to be March 4th, 5th, and 6th, which is Friday through Sunday next week at the fairgrounds. So we're super excited.
And talk about some of the things you have planned this year.
Well, we have over 100 plus vendors inside the two largest buildings at the fairgrounds. We've got outdoor vendors that include food trucks, breweries, RVs, pools, and live entertainment. There'll be live presentations covering a wide range of topics each day of the show. We've got four high schools participating in a build-off challenge where each school will be building a coop and they will be judged every day of the show. Each attendee coming to the show has an opportunity to participate in our passport prize drawing for a chance to win a weekend stay at Umpqua's Last Resort. So we have a lot going on.
And McKinney, with you as well, talk about this high school project. Jump in right there.
Oh, thanks very much. So as you know, we have a shortage in the home builder industry, okay? And National Home Builders Association projects that we're going to need 300,000 new builders and tradesmen in the upcoming 10 years just to meet demand for new homes. So being the board director at the Home Builders Association, Dana and I and the rest of the board were brainstorming about ways we could start getting kids involved and maybe give them a different career path than the traditional, you know, 4 years of college. And so what we came up with is we needed a community outreach program where some of the builders could connect with some of the high school shop classes and maybe do a fun project that we could have those high school kids build alongside with their shop teacher, have a builder kind of touch base with the kids and help out with their project. And then we're going to bring, what we decided on is we decided to do chicken coops. And are we going to auction them or sell them?
They will be auctioned and then auctioned off on the last day of the show.
So we invited all the county high schools to participate. I think next year we'll probably have more. I think this year we have three high schools total that are participating in the chicken coop build-off. And they're going to be at the Home and Garden Show for the duration of the Home and Garden Show weekend. And it's going to showcase the shop classes from Sutherland High School,
Days Creek, and then Glide High School.
So anyways, we're pretty excited about it. I live in Glide, so I was nominated to work with Glide High School. And it's been great. The kids, it's awesome to watch them cut and put boards together and, you know, direct them on building something that's going to look nice and that somebody's going to want to buy and take home and have their chicken coop.
So how big are these chicken coops?
Approximately 8 feet by 6 feet.
I think we gave them a max size of like 6 foot by 8 foot footprint, but they were free to do whatever they wanted. There was no specific plan, so you know, everybody's
showing their creativity.
I mean, we didn't want the scope to be real narrow to where everybody was building the same thing. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out to the fairgrounds next weekend.
So you talked about the shortage, and it seems like we had a couple things happen when we had the recession in 2007-08. You know, housing really took a hit on that one, and a lot of people just walked away from the profession and went on to other things. And then as things improved, you had a shortage there, and now you have compounded it by the current last couple of years and a lot of longtime folks in the trades that have finally hit, you know, retirement age. And for some people looking around during a pandemic, decided to retire a little sooner.
Yep. You hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I've been in the trades because of my father since I was a little kid. And for me, it was a path that as I got older and was finishing up high school and I watched all my friends go off to college and I was, you know, I went to college for for a little while, and I decided, you know, this just wasn't for me, and I got my contractor's license, and, you know, we started building houses, and I said to myself at the time, no one else my age is going into this. They're not going into tile setting or concrete work or, you know, being a contractor or a carpenter. I mean, it just wasn't something that a lot of us were doing. So I thought, that's odd. I mean, maybe there might be a shortage, you know, someday, theoretically, when everybody retires out. Well, that time has come and gone. And then we had, like you said, the recession in 08 through 10, and that really kicked out a lot of people that should have went into the trades, but there wasn't enough work to really, you know, provide for their families, and so they moved on to a different career. And now we're in a situation where you're seeing a population change going from the high density urban areas because of the last 2 years, where they want, now they want to move more suburban and rural, have more room so they can go outside. And so it's driving up home demand, not only here, but all around the country in those areas. And we don't have, unlike in 2000 to 2008, where, you know, big builders would go in and do subdivisions and build hundreds and sometimes thousands of homes available for those people to buy, that didn't happen. So now we have a shortage, and we have people retiring, and you have the retirees staying in their home, but you also have the millennials who moved in with their parents during the last 2 years, you know, either to save money or to get out of their apartment, and they ain't going back to their apartment. They want a house. So the only way out now is to build more homes, and we need more people to build the homes that are demanded from all of us right at this time.
And I've even talked to one builder in the last few months who, and I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but has done really well. And he's like, yeah, I would like to retire, but people keep asking me to, you know, work. And he's got a good company going, and it really finds it almost impossible to retire at this point because of the lack of new folks to come in.
It's a challenge for all of us, and especially all of us that have done it for a long time. Our upcoming challenges are going to be the trades, finding people that, you know, we need people to be insulators and drywall hangers and concrete guys. I'm starting to see it now. I'm starting to see the younger guys get interested in it. They know they can make great money at it. And I'm starting to see that turn now. Now they need, we need more of those people that are eager to go do it. And, you know, I'm happy to see that changeover. I'm just worried about there being a gap time between when this next generation's, you know, skilled and ready to go on their own versus the guys that are retiring out. We got this gap period that's going to happen there. It's going to create some staffing challenges to get homes built.
So it sounds like your organization overall, you really are trying to make a push to kind of help with that and get people interested locally.
Yes, we definitely are. That is our mission.
So how many home builders do we have in the area these days?
That's a wild guess.
Good question. I would say probably, I mean, we just, you know, the Home Builders Association is just a small percentage of the actual builders out there. But in the association, I would say about 70-ish.
So, and that's down from, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, I know the number was a lot more then because of so many people.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Moving out and stuff. So, Dana, for the show this weekend, what was it like to put it together again this year?
Well, you know, overcoming the snowstorm and navigating our way through COVID last year, I'm super excited about not having any major catastrophes to work through, and it seems to be a real good quality show this year, so I'm excited.
And talk about some of the displays, some of the different types of things people can see when they come out.
Yeah, so Friday at 1 o'clock, there's going to be a presentation on two types of beehives. I know honey seems to be the thing out there right now. And then they're also going to be doing a presentation on honey harvesting at 5:30. And Saturday, we've got Cascade Credit Union. They're going to be doing obtaining a home loan presentation at 11. And then at 2, the Oregon Koi and Water Garden Society will be doing a presentation on starting and maintaining a koi pond. We've also got Pac Air Comfort, Pacific Air Comfort, who is going to be coming in and doing a presentation on indoor air quality. These are just to name a few. So you can find the full presentation schedule either on our website, which is umpquavalleyhba.org, or our Facebook page, Umpqua Valley Home Builders Association.
All right, more when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1248, News Radio, 1240 KQEN, Lars Larson at 1. Later, Umpqua Valley Live, blues artist Mark Broussard for a special artist interview with us this afternoon. We'll hear some of his music as well, and a lot more ahead as we get into the weekend. Next weekend, Umpqua Valley Home Builders Association home show at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. Dana LaPrey, Mick Kennedy in here with us this afternoon. Talk about Mick. Some of the things. What is it like to kind of navigate through this coming out of this time period as a builder?
You know, when the COVID thing first started, I think everybody's knee jerk reaction initially was to pull the reins in and, you know, kind of hunker down with whatever jobs we had and kind of see how it went. And then we sort of did that just initially, and then the demand came right behind it. And because people realized I think we all thought the same thing, you know, maybe it's a month or 2 months, or by the summer it'll be gone. I think we were all in the same boat at that point. When we hit the first like 9 month or 1 year timeline, people said to themselves, if I'm going to be stuck at home, then I'm going to spend some money on my house. And so a lot of people needed more room. The big one for a little while, at least for the remodelers, was I need my bedroom to be an office because we work from home now. That was a huge one. Or we needed more space, or the kids were at home too, you know. And so kids that maybe had been sharing rooms, it was like whatever it takes to get everybody their own bedroom, that needs to happen. Or people decided, I'm going to build a house later on. I would say probably at the 1 year mark, people decided, my house doesn't work for us anymore, or I don't want to live where I live now. I'm going to live somewhere else. And being as I spend so much time at home, we're going to spend money to make that happen. So for us, the new construction really took off. The remodeling is, people are calling. We just don't have the manpower to do the remodels and new construction. So now most of our focus is on new construction, at least for this next year. And we love doing the remodels, but you know, like we discussed earlier, with the trades being shorthanded, it's easier for us to do the new house, because with the remodel, you have people generally that live there, you know, and so you want to get in and out as fast as you can. And with both the shortage of skilled labor and the shortage of just general materials, I mean, I know overhead doors right now are almost 6 months out on our order timelines. So, you know, one missing part in a critical path to finish in that remodel is somebody's living in a house that we can't finish for a longer timeline. So, you know, what we've done is at this time we're focusing on the new construction until these supply constraints come back to normal, and then, you know, we'll if we can make the remodeling happen in a more normal timeline, we'll jump back into that. But while we got the demand for brand new homes, we're going to build them and get them up. So,
well, and I was listening last weekend to Danny Lipford on our national show on Saturday morning, Today's Homeowner, and he talked about, you know, normally all these scheduling things, and you know you've done it for years, so you've got a system down and all that. And it talked about how many times it's like, oh, wait a second, what do you mean that's not going to be here for 3 months? And we can't do, you know, you can't get to point C, D, and E until you get B done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. The most ridiculous thing that we've had happen is about probably 8 months ago, double gang boxes that the electricians need for, like, say, two switches next to each other or a switch and a plug, you couldn't get them. Like, they didn't exist. So we'd have jobs that were wired up waiting for this $1 part, and we can't do drywall and we can't do insulation until the electrician can finish their job. So this $1 piece was, you know, extending timelines by 2 or 3 weeks at that time until we got the new ones. And that's the kind of bizarre supply constraint things we're having with timelines. It's getting better on some things. Some things are getting worse. It's kind of, you know, moves up and down. Some things will all of a sudden be harder to get. Other things that you couldn't get for a while are all of a sudden in stock. So, I mean, it's pretty random right now.
And it seemed like nationally for a while the trend had been overall people were going into smaller homes. Part of that was with cost. But now, and I don't know about super recently, but a few months ago, because of people that were going to have at least one person working from home, it sounded like square footage is going back up.
Oh, certainly. We've definitely seen it with our clients. Our square footage has moved up of the homes that we're either bidding or in the process of building. The square footage has gone up. Like I said, people are more in tune with possibly staying and working at home now. For two income families, that means they want two separate offices because maybe one of them's on the phone and can't deal with somebody else being in the room. Not because they don't like each other, but, you know, they need quiet, their own personal quiet space. So, you know, the dynamics of what they want in a home has changed significantly. And, you know, the other unfortunate part of all the supply constraint, labor constraint, is the cost of homes have gone up considerably in the last probably 24 months. So, you know, I'm trying to coach my owners before we even get to the pricing of their project. I'm coaching them, you know, and telling them, you know, things are getting more expensive and it's not like 2 years ago. So.
And it's not like when you start the project, let's say you're doing a new house and you're dealing with, okay, lumber is going to cost this much, but by the time you get into it, it's gone up.
That's right. Last spring was the eye-opener for the entire country, and we had lumber packages for brand new homes literally double in a short span of like 4 to 6 weeks. So it was fantastic for our local mills. They did amazing, and they put a lot of money back into the community, and they really helped the burn victims. So I want to give a shout out to our lumber guys. We can't build houses without them. That was fantastic. I mean, the timing was great, but for our personal owners that had already contracted, they, you know, when the lumber price went up, we're not talking like $3,000 to $5,000 a house. It was like $30,000 a house, and it was a big issue for a while. It kind of tapered off, but we could maybe be looking at that kind of cycle again this spring. You know, it's the way it's trending right now. So.
So, Dana, with so much kind of shifting and changes in your industry, it seems like if somebody has got anything up their sleeve, whether they're looking at a remodel or they're looking at some of the products that you're going to have out here, I mean, this would be a really good time to see a lot of things in one place.
Yeah, it absolutely would. You know, our mission is to provide a platform for vendors in the home building industry to really promote their services and give members of the community an opportunity to support these businesses.
And talk about, you've got a lot of sponsors, a lot of people involved with all this.
Yeah, we wanted to shout out to our sponsors. They continue to support the mission of the HBA, and they really do give us the ability to provide the platform to network with members and members of the community. We've got Buck Sanitary, Adcox Heating Center, Southern Septic Services, Mary Gilbert Group with the Keller Williams Realty, Cascade Community Credit Union, Looking Glass Brewery, and Tushai Brewery. We can't forget about our breweries.
And talk about the hours, and you said two of the buildings, right?
Yep, so show is March 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. We're going to be using the Douglas Hall and the Exhibit Hall. Show hours are Friday 10 to 7, Saturday 10 to 5, and Sunday 10 to 4. Admission is $5 or $4 with two cans of food. We're partnering with Feeding Umpqua, and then veterans and seniors get in free on Sunday.
And if people want to find out more about this, do you have it on social media somehow?
It's all on our website, which is UmpquaValleyHBA.org, or we also have a Facebook page, which is Umpqua Valley Home Builders Association.
And is it going to rain next weekend?
There is a slight chance of rain next weekend, but no snow, so that's good.
That, you would like to not have that happen again.
No snow.
All right, well, that's a little preview of what's happening next weekend. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.